When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm John McEnroe.
I'm Bjorn Borg.
This is Martina Navratilova.
I'm Mats Wilander.
I'm Stan Wawrinka.
I'm Leighton Hewitt.
I'm Andy Murray.
And you're listening to the Tennis Podcast.
Hello and welcome along to day four of the French Open 2019, where you find myself, Catherine Mitiger, Matt Roberts, no David Law. He's asked us to let you know that he's not just shirking his podcast responsibilities, he's tied up with Queen's responsibilities back in London, although we happen to know that that's not what he's doing at this precise moment, Matt.
He is at Hugh Jackman / Greatest Showman sing-along.
Yeah, he claims it's for his kids, but...
We've had photographic evidence of him looking, first of all, quite miserable to be there, and then ecstatic to be there.
Yeah, David Law holding a glow stick. I never thought I'd see the day. Simon Briggs also otherwise detained because the British press are furiously writing away following Jo Konta's success. She threw to the third round of the French Open for the first time. That's a full house for her in terms of Grand Slam third round. She had a few nervous wobbles, closing it out in a really bizarre match against Lauren Davis. Three very one-sided sets, first in favour of Konta, second in favour of Davis, third in favour of Konta. Again, she is through, Matt, to face not one of the tournament favourites, Kiki Bertens, in round three, but to face Victoria Kuzmova.
Yeah, Simon Briggs, I think the term is, has slid into my DMs to find out some information about Kuzmova. I appear to be some sort of...
Correspondent, Matt.
Correspondent. I think,
you're in more demand than Kuzmova. Kuzmova, come
Kuzmova,
on.
Yeah, we've got to get this right now. I think I am essentially her PR rep.
She just doesn't know it.
She just doesn't know it. And I was...
I can see Mike Dixon of the Daily Mail on the phone over there. He's saying, get me Matt Roberts.
Exactly. Because, yes, a very dramatic and, to be honest, really unfortunate circumstances with Kiki Bertens, who four games into the match, and she was clearly suffering during those four games, she took to the chair and didn't play another point. She said that I'm shaking, I don't have any power, and she eventually retired there on the spot. And the reason she's given is that she got sick in the night. She woke up about 3 o'clock and she was vomiting, had diarrhea, had it throughout the day, felt a little bit better before the match. So I thought she'd give it a go, but then it reared its ugly head again during the match and she just couldn't compete. And it was a really, really sad sight, to be honest, for someone. I mean, it would be sad for anyone, particularly for Kiki Bertens, who's been in such good form and came in here as one of the favourites for the title.
David Law's pick for the title. She, when she took to the chair, as you said, four games in, I think trailing 3-1, she was actually already packing up her stuff before the physio and the doctor had made it to the court. It seemed clear that there was no way, unless they came onto court with some sort of magic beans, there was absolutely no way she was going to be carrying on. I mean, I guess at least it was clear cut. The decision was clear cut for her. It seemed that there was no other option for her at that moment. But, I mean, she said it's stomach flu, and I believe her. I mean, she looked pale. She looked white as a sheet, didn't she? It looked to me like what she was having some kind of panic attack. It looked like, yeah, that's what it looked like to me. Now, she hasn't used those words, and I think probably they're whether it was a panic attack or not, if you're, you know, on the biggest stage of your life, probably the biggest tournament of your life, given the hype around her, etc., etc., and you realise you're unable to even compete, how could you not panic? I mean, see Marin Cilic in the Wimbledon final a couple of years ago, sobbing into his towel at the change of ends, the realisation that he just wasn't, not only was he not going to win, but he wasn't even going to be able to give it his best shot. It's
well, they're linked,
gutting,
aren't they? We always talk about that. The physical and the mental are linked. And Kiki Bertens is a player who, as a Dutch journalist put it to me today, you know, she would probably prefer to be on court 16 to being on centre court. That's just her personality.
Do you think that means she will never hit the heights? Will it always hold her back, or can she program herself to cope with it?
Well, I think she's already come over, you know, she's already got over a lot. I think what was holding her back from being the player she is now was her head, and she's got to this stage now where she's a top five player. So it's possible that she could then make that extra leap. But I just felt really sorry for her out there. She was sobbing, and she could see the red behind her eyes. It was just such a difficult, uncomfortable situation.
And then insult to injury, she gets put in a holding room while waiting for Roger Federer to finish off his 400 languages in press conference. She is ready to come to press. She gets called to the press room, but old Rog is still yabbering away.
Babbling away in French and Swiss German. And in fact, I think he was still talking in English when Kiki Bertens arrived. She was waiting in a holding room for a good 20 minutes because Federer, I don't know what he was saying because it was in Swiss German, but I don't think Kiki Bertens will be wanting to come to press immediately after Roger Federer in the future.
If you're hearing sound effects that you don't usually hear on our 2019 French Open daily pods, it's because Matt and I are out in the open. We've braved it. It's because it's gone 9 o'clock at night and most of the crowds have dispersed. There's no way we'd have been braving these territories at 3 p.m. today when I was stuck in an absolute throng trying to make it from Simone Mathieu back to Philippe Chatrier Court. I mean, it was stationary traffic for quite a long period, and I can only guess that all the people that had tickets to be watching tennis were preferring to be just sort of circulating the grounds aimlessly, because there was an awful lot of great tennis happening today that people weren't watching.
Yeah, there needs to be some kind of rule, we were saying, weren't we, how people need to spend a certain amount of time in their
seats. Yeah, a bums on seats duration rule.
Just as much as anything to alleviate the jams and the flow of people that is the Roland Garros grounds.
Maybe they need to put a time limit on lunch.
That would
help.
You're
only allowed to spend 20 minutes eating your sandwich. Now get back in there and watch some tennis. The good news, though, I hate to put any kind of positive spin on a great trauma and disappointment for Kiki Bertens, but it is to the benefit, Matt, of the great Victoria Kuzmova.
Indeed. I don't really know how to feel, to be honest, because I didn't back her in this tournament and I'm feeling ashamed of myself.
It's the motivation to prove you wrong, I think, that has got her this far.
I think it is. She must have seen our predictions and thought,
she's got Diana Yastremska.
Yeah. But that is a very interesting match now against Jo Konta. A huge opportunity for both. Kuzmova is the kind of player who you have to get moving. Halep completely took her apart and exploited her pretty poor movement in Madrid, beat her 6-love, 6-love. I'm not sure Konta will do that against Kuzmova.
It's not usually her game plan, is it?
It could turn into a bit of a hitting contest, and
he's got a twinkle in his eye, folks.
I'm potentially backing Kuzmova in that one.
Well, we've nailed the pronunciation of her name. So that is step number one for the Tennis Podcast's association with Victoria Kuzmova. Elsewhere, should we stick with the women's, Matt? I mean, in that mad hour, there was all sorts going on. We had Grigor Dimitrov and Marin Cilic having a choke-a-thon out on Court Simone Mathieu, eventually won by Grigor Dimitrov. What else did we happening in? What else was happening in that mad hour? Belinda Bencic got herself in a spot of bother, I believe. She's still in a spot of bother. That match, her match with Laura Siegmund, was moved to Chatrier to kind of replace that Kiki Bertens Victoria Kuzmova match that never quite got going. I'm going to check the score in that match, Matt.
Okay, well, I can see it on a screen. Ooh, but
the benefits of being out and about.
I cannot see the score because this I'm looking at this in a screen, and it's like a mirror effect, and it looks like they're both left-handed. So the score, I'm sure, would be backwards as well. So I will wait for you to come to that one.
She is 4-3, break up in the third, but 30-40. So that is an absolute thriller on Chatre. And Leo Meyer and Diego Schwartzman also locked in battle, predictably 3-all in the fourth.
That Dimitrov-Cilic match reminded me very much of, if you've ever seen a video of people holding electric shock balls, where they then have to answer a question and then pass it on to the other person. The electric shock ball was the lead in that match. Whenever they had the lead, they just threw it to the other person.
Hot potato. I don't want it. I don't want it. You have it.
You have it. And it was an absolute masterclass from both of them in how not to play with the lead. And even...
I feel bad because when Dimitrov was break up in the fifth, I said, oh dear, this is a bad sign, he's going to lose it.
Then he got another break and served the match with a double break and lost serve. And then Cilic gave it back to him to hand in the match. But
that is
a really big win for Dimitrov. His first top 35 win of the season and his first top 20 win since April 2018.
Wow.
It has been a struggle.
Geneva qualifying. Wow. Where else? Where should we go next? We're bouncing around. Should we stay on Simon Mathieu? I started the day watching Stefanos Tsitsipas out there in one of the most entertaining matches I've seen close up this year. Really, against what's his first name?
Hugo.
I was going to say Guido. That's Pella. Hugo.
Do you want to know his surname?
Yeah,
as
help
well?
Me, help me. Delien. I know it. I just don't want to butcher it.
Delien,
the first Bolivian tennis player I've ever heard of, I think. And off front up, I hadn't heard of him before this week, despite the fact that he's 84 in the world, and that's real evidence of how high you can get your ranking by playing pretty much exclusively Challenger events.
Yeah, he's grinded away on the Challenger Tour. A lot of his best results coming on clay, and as you said, got his ranking up to about 80. And it's just outside of that number where you're going to be seeing them regularly. So we're only really going to get to see him on the main tour at the Slams with that ranking, unless he qualifies for some events.
But he was so good.
More of Delien, please.
Oh, he was so great.
He's the new drop shot dragon.
Hang on, didn't we give that name? We gave that name to Von Drusheva.
We did.
There's room for one in the men's and one in the women's.
They're competing for the new drop shot dragon.
We'll
tag.
Let them both know.
And he's such a battler. He just would, because he twisted his ankle really badly after about,
and then went on to win the first set.
Yeah, it was just a remarkable effort from him. And Tsitsipas's reaction at the end, he gave it a huge fist bump, a huge roar. He knew he was in a battle today.
He did. I spoke to him straight after the match in the corner of the court, actually, and he kept on referencing the fact that he'd beaten a true clay court specialist. He said, I'm not a clay court specialist, so to beat a real clay court specialist like that, it almost felt like a kind of rite of passage for him at Roland Garros. And he said he was not pleased with himself at the way he failed to contain his emotions, particularly in the third set. He had an altercation with the net, for which he received a warning and a lot of boos from the Simon Mathieu crowd. I mean, he didn't seem particularly fazed by that. He's in his own little world, isn't he? Although he does remark upon it when he receives a lot of crowd support, but he didn't, to me, seem cowed at all by the booing French. I say throngs, but actually it was half full, and I couldn't get my head around the fact that the stadium was half full for that match, but... Yeah, we've made the point there, I think.
Yeah, I think he cares, doesn't he, what people think? Because there was that quote he gave after his first round match where he said, oh, I love the fact that they're really appreciating my tennis and that I'm playing with a flourish and they appreciate it. But I think in the moment, his match instincts are so good that he's able to ignore all of that. But afterwards, you know, a minute after finishing the match, he's speaking to you, talking about it. Clearly, it must be on his mind.
Yeah, he was so reflective. I mean, he's just an absolute treat to speak to. He's on a collision course, Matt. Not quite yet, but a fourth-round collision course with Stan Wawrinka, who dismissed the challenge of another... We're putting Christian Garin in the clay court specialist
definitely
category. Absolutely just threw him out with the bins.
It was Stan Wawrinka of 2015.
Yeah. Oh, you've said it.
He was crunching the ball and not missing. And that is a combination that beats everyone.
If he can bottle that, he will beat everyone.
If he,
it's a bit obviously a big if, but that tennis beats everyone.
His draw, he's going to have to beat literally everyone if he does want to win this thing, because Dimitrov next, then that Tsitsipas collision course, and then the trio, Federer, Nadal, Djokovic, probably.
But he can. He's the guy that can.
He can. I mean, we might be getting ahead of ourselves. I've thought this about...
That's what we do, Matt.
We do. I've thought this about Wawrinka a lot this year. I've thought he is ready to unleash his biggest and best tennis on the world once again. And yet, then the next match or the next tournament, he's not quite had it.
Did you see his moment with the little boy in the crowd afterwards?
I didn't.
He was signing autographs courtside, and it was absolutely packed. And a real, actually, bit of a crush at the front. And this little boy, he probably was about... I'm really bad at guessing ages, but probably about 6 or 7. He was wearing a little baseball cap, and he was sobbing. He was sobbing because he couldn't reach. He was just in a crush, and he couldn't reach up to get noticed by Stan Wawrinka. And he was just stood there having a cry. And Stan literally picked him up by under his arms and put him on the crowd, and he's still sobbing away. You can see his sort of shoulders heaving as he sobs away, and Stan puts his arm around him and takes him to one side and signs his autograph. And it really, really got me, Matt.
Been so brutal on the court, he was then this little soft, cuddly teddy bear.
It was an amazing contrast.
But I basically have in my notes for Wawrinka, be afraid, be very afraid. Ooh. The rest of the draw.
And particularly Stefanos Tsitsipas.
Just give me that match right now. Sorry, Grigor.
Oh, poor Grigor Dimitrov. He's just an obstacle en route to the match that everyone wants to see. I'm looking forward to that match.
Which one?
Dimitrov Wawrinka.
Yes, I'm looking forward. And actually, they played at Wimbledon and the US Open first round, I think, last year. And Wawrinka won them both. So there's some motivation there for Grigor to try and stop that.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Speaking of former champions who are perhaps a little bit unexpectedly catching eyes, Garbiñe Muguruza, anyone?
Yes. Well, she caught my eye. I watched that match, quite a bit of that match today, and I was really impressed with how she wasn't just going for winners. She was building points, and she, I think, said that in press as well. And just a really efficient, under-the-radar win. And
which is what we're completely not used to seeing from her. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's what's been missing.
And the problem is she's got Svitolina next, who in main draws she has a 5-1 losing record against. But
Svitolina's injured, though.
Injured. And she played on Sunday. That match will be Friday. Is like a different tournament.
Svitolina's opponent, Kozlova... her opponent, Kozlova, withdrew just ahead of their scheduled match on Longland this morning. So, I mean, I'd picked Kozlova to get the upset there because I really think Svitolina's undercooked for this tournament at best and at worst quite injured. And it's only because she loves it so much that she's perhaps forcing the issue a little bit. So I reckon Muguruza's coming through that.
And despite that losing record she has against Svitolina, Muguruza said, which I think is really positive, it's the type of match I want to play.
Ooh.
She's not had a huge amount of really big matches at Slams recently because she's not been a factor. And now she's got one.
Sloane Stephens had a little wobble, but made it through in straight sets. She was nervous, though, in that second set. She was racing ahead with it and ended up somehow in a second set tiebreak with Sara Ribes Tormo. Made it through, though. What else have we had on the women's side? Kiki Mladenovic is a goner. 2-1 to Petra Martic. I know Martic is the seeded player there, but I thought maybe with Sasha Bajin in her corner, there were some good signs in Rome, weren't there? I think that's a massive disappointment for Mladenovic. Pliskova, again, she's just doing her thing. 2-2 over Kuchva, making her way through the draw. In fact, that match went on to court Simon Mathieu immediately after Tsitsipas, and I was making my way through the bowels of the Simon Mathieu court after doing the flash interview with Tsitsipas, trying to exit, and I was sort of pushed to one side by a security guard because of the oncoming Pliskova and Kuchva. They were making their way onto court for the match, and there wasn't room for a berth of two in the corridor, and I was sort of ended up sort of straddled flat against the wall, and Pliskova broke out laughing. She saw what was happening and she broke out laughing. I mean, usually the rule is if you see a tennis player pre-match, don't even make eye contact. I mean, the funniest thing in the world could happen and they just wouldn't even notice because game face on. And she broke out laughing and thought the whole thing was completely hilarious. And I thought, oh, well, she's winning that tennis match then.
And possibly the tournament.
And quite possibly the tournament. 2-2 for her. Elise Mertens won. She's still in the mix.
She's in the mix, but she's dressed like it's 2016 with her zebra outfit.
What's happened?
I know. She's inspired by Zverev and team a few years ago.
Sevastova won. Vondrousova as well. She's doing that thing of just quietly winning through.
Yeah, that was a match between one of, I think, six teenagers in the women's draw made it through to round two as we are.
Those noises that sound like a lorry reversing are in fact actually the very frequent sound of bins being dragged around Roland Garros.
Christine Garin's in there because that's where Wawrinka threw him.
They're really stylish bins, but I can't tell you how annoying it is when you've just filmed the perfect link and one of them sails into the back of shot ruining it forevermore and it hits the cutting room floor with a thud. Back to the men's. Nadal won, was brilliant. Apparently it's a superstition thing. He likes to play one match every year on Longland. He asks to do that.
I was looking at his record. He's played, I could only find the order of plays back to 2009, but every year since going back to then he's played at least one. And you know, he's lost, he's 88-2 now at the French Open, but he's never lost on Longland. And his stats on Longland are just as dominant as they are everywhere else. And I was looking as well, if you take his whole French Open record, he's now won just over 25% of his sets here, 6-1 or 6-love.
Eesh.
Which is another indication of his awesome dominance in this tournament.
I think the draw remains kind to him, doesn't he?
Goffin.
Oh, David Goffin. Okay. I thought he might be troubled by Kecmanovic, but not so.
He's played really well this week, Goffin. I don't think he quite has the artillery to trouble Nadal.
Quite? Not quite the artillery?
Yeah, not quite. He's a good player, David Goffin, but he doesn't.
I love
quite
a bit of David Goffin, but I do think he's going to be
mincemeat
prey. Because Nadal's just in that mood, isn't he? I believe it's going to take either a Herculean physical performance, the like of which only Djokovic can probably pull off, or a bulldozing performance, the like of which maybe only Wawrinka or Del Potro can pull off.
And actually, we should say on Wawrinka, he doesn't have a good record against Nadal, even when he is playing that well. I think he's beaten him in the Australian Open final, didn't he? But Nadal was hampered by that back.
Yeah.
If there's one player
Wawrinka can't hit through,
it probably is Nadal, I would say.
Okay. We'll put a pin in that for now. Roger Federer, 4-3-4 against Oscar Otter. I was taught that pronunciation by Boris Becker. I can't now not say it in a comedy German accent. I simply can't. It was a decent match. Federer looked good. I watched him in practice before the match, and he was doing comedy grunting. I interpreted it as comedy grunting because it seemed wholly unnecessary for me. He was playing Diego Schwartzman, who was also obliging with a lot of grunting, but it seemed less comedy. I don't know what was going on, but it was great fun.
Well, what he did in the match was channel his Pete Sampras by breaking right at the end of each set.
So Pete Sampras, isn't it?
I think he had 4 break points in the match spread across 3 games, and he broke in every game he had break points. He was just so efficient.
Which is probably the opposite of some of the issues that he said. You know, the Tsitsipas match at the Australian Open.
Absolutely. In big matches, Federer's break point conversion, yeah, I think, is a bit of an issue for him. But today it was... And it wasn't a big match.
He spent about 4 hours in press afterwards, so he must be feeling pretty relaxed, happy, chuffed with the way things are going. Who does he play next?
Interestingly, he plays Casper Ruud. Ooh. And he was asked, what does he know about Casper Ruud? And he says, I know more about his father, Christian Ruud, because Casper Ruud's father, was in the draw of the French Open in 1999 when Federer made his debut.
No!
It is a bonkers stat. I mean, I do wonder whether someone's ever played a father and, you know, father-son. Unfortunately, Federer didn't play Christian Ruud, but...
Oh, my goodness, that's the best stat of all time. It's not a stat, is it? It's a fact.
I can't take credit for it. I think Chris Clary might have come up with that one. But, yeah, it's a fantastic, fantastic line.
Another line we've had today, courtesy of the ATP, is that that's the first opponent Federer's ever played whose surname begins with O.
Yeah, the most sort of incredible stat and a pointless one.
This is what people come to the tennis podcast for, isn't it?
He just needs to play an opponent beginning with surname beginning with X to complete the set.
Are there any?
The alphabet grand slam.
Can you think of any players whose surname begins with X?
No.
Answers on a postcard at tennis podcast. Nishikori won in 4 sets over Joe Wilfried Tsonga. It was a good match. It never quite caught completely on fire, but there were embers.
There was no underarm serve, though, okay?
No. And I, if he keeps progressing, I will be asking him about it. The pressure will be piled on. You like to do a bit of a Frenchie watch, Matt.
I do like Frenchies. are you talking about Nico Mahou, who...
Pick your Frenchie, far away. This is Frenchie Corner. Over to you, Matt.
I was suddenly aware that Mahou had won because I saw his son on court again, which seems to be the...
Wheels him out at every opportunity, doesn't he?
Every time he wins, his son's on court. But he's into the third round for only the second time here, and he's played here 16 times. It's a big deal for Mahou to be in the third round. And how is Herbert doing? Because when we started recording, that I think was at 8-all in the fifth.
It's no longer a live match, so we have a result. I'm scrolling. Listen to this award-winning radio. I'm scrolling. Goodness me, what court was it on, Matt? This is a lot of scrolling.
14?
Oh, goodness me, I'm only on court 9. Keep going. Hold up the airwaves, Matt.
Okay, so... Mahou actually played really well.
He was court 11. Evans and Norrie won in the doubles.
Oh, wow.
Carry on.
Yeah, it was cool to see Mahou playing serve volley tennis on a clay court and winning with it. And I thought the irony is that he might be going further in this tournament than Herbert, and given that they split so Herbert could focus on his singles. But we're still seeking confirmation.
Do you want to play bingo? On-air bingo. So the last time you checked the score, it was 8-all in the fifth between Benoit Paire and Pierre Hugues.
That's right. That is that. Given the
correct
final score, that is plausible.
Yeah.
That
so
it was that.
What do you think happened?
I think Paire won.
Yeah, give me a score.
Given that it's over, I'm going to say 11-9.
That is ridiculous. That is that is correct.
We should have just got. I should have just said that with confidence, and then we wouldn't have had to look it up.
It's only day four. I don't know where we go from here. It was 11-9 in the fifth, Matt.
Wow, that's. I mean, amazing. It was another example of quite a lot of choking going on, which we had a lot of today.
I tell you what, Benoit Paire's played a lot of tennis.
He has.
This year and these 2 weeks.
But when Herbert was mounting his comeback from two sets down, my mind went back to... Do you remember that year Tommy Robredo won 3 matches in a row from 2 sets down?
I do.
Here at the French Open. Definitely a couple of them were against Monfils and Almagro. And I suddenly thought Herbert's two-thirds of the way there if he can get this fifth set. But Paire's closed that one out.
Any other Frenchy business that we want to cover, or business of any nationality you like, frankly, before we just give a quick rundown of the order of play for tomorrow?
More bad news in the women's draw that Andreescu has had to withdraw with a shoulder injury.
Which is a different injury to what kept her out of the clay, the same injury.
It's the same shoulder injury, but she said after the first round that it was fine. And then she pulled out of her doubles maybe this morning, and then pulled out of the singles this afternoon. So Kenin gets a walk over there into the next round. But it always worries me when young players have injuries, because we've seen it so often. The main one that comes to mind in the men's is Kokkinakis.
Absolutely.
So I really hope that she can get over those injury troubles.
Don't push through the injuries, folks.
Yeah.
It's so tempting to feel like, oh my gosh, time's running out. You know, I've got to get out there and play these tournaments. But order of play for tomorrow. Dominic Thiem starts against Bublik on Châtre. A lot of people saying that if you've got a ticket for Châtre tomorrow, you might be a wee bit disappointed, unless maybe you're French. But Serena Williams is out there. She plays Karumi Nara. I spoke to Patrick Mouratoglou earlier. He said that Serena was just crippled with nerves in that first round match. She really put him through it. I think he was almost a little bit annoyed afterwards. He said it was an awful performance, but onwards and upwards. He said she is still in pain. The knee is still causing her pain.
Really?
But
that's not good.
That he thinks it's pain she can play with. So we will see. Karumi Nara for her tomorrow. Garcia and Blinkova and Kljan and Puy round things off on Châtre. Osaka Azarenka starts on Longlen.
Place to be.
Place to be. Followed by Djokovic against Laxinen. Manarino Monfils. That's where Frenchy watch will be focused tomorrow. And then Halep and Linette. Elsewhere, you've got Zverev on Mathieu. Stoza again on Mathieu. I'm pleased to see that. Del Potro as well. Madison Keys. Sabalenka, Anisimova. A rerun of Australian Open match won by Anisimova. Probably the start of the woes this season for Sabalenka, those were. So that's a replay of that match. Ash Barty is out on court one as well. Verdasco, Fanini. Kyle Edmund kicks things off on court number 6, I believe. He's taking on Pablo Cuevas. Do we think Kyle will win that?
Maybe. True fence sitting, but that really is a toss of a coin match, I think.
They've never played. I think there's going to be a lot of feeling one another out. But if Kyle has that look in his eye he had yesterday morning, then I'll back him. I'll let you know what I think once I've seen him on the practice court. How about
yes.
that? This has been the Tennis Podcast, day 4 of the French Open, brought to you in association with The Telegraph. I'd better join Simon Briggs in Joe Conta's press conference, see what she's got to say about reaching third round of the French Open here for the first time. We're brought to you in association with our mascot, Rio with a Y. A reminder, David's asked me to tell you that he's not just not at the French Open because he doesn't fancy it. He will come here one day. He's just very busy and important elsewhere. We will have him on the podcast, won't we, at some stage?
Oh, maybe. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I'm only here for a few more days.
Just until the Kuzmova. You're only here for Kuzmova, right?
I might have to change my Eurostar just in the tournament next Tuesday.
She's the new Ostapenko, Matt. She's this year's Ostapenko. In association with... I mean, I actually can. Matt's having thoughts, people. He's having thoughts. In association with tennisballs.com, our executive producers. I said Rio with a Y. He can be said twice. He's great. And we'll be back tomorrow.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free
or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.